read this?
Hi, do I need to? Reading from Proverbs 31, 10 through 15. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household.
I would also like to say happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in here. Perfect mothers. And I'd like to read from Proverbs 31, 25 through 31. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.
After I watched that video earlier in the week, happy Mother's Day, by the way, and I feel, even after watching it for the second time, like one of the Three Stooges up here, not like a Board of Review member. Nothing against you guys. But I'm often critical in my house over, is everything clean? And when I saw that encapsulates my wife. So anyway, let's pray for the moms. I'll try not to lose it. And then I'm going to go back and try to let God use me with Planet 45 here. I'll try to get out of the way. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for all of the moms today, Father, those here and those not here, those that are home with you, Father. We just thank you for them, Father. Without them, we know that you would not have made us complete, Father. We thank you for our homes that they take care of, our children that they watch over. Father, we thank you for those moms that are in here who have children waiting in heaven to be back with them, Father. We just ask that you'd bless them. Father, help us as husbands to be filled with grace, to be the image of Christ. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh. We just ask your blessing on this service, that all moms today would be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can have a seat, praise God. Thank you for that set, Amber. It's beautiful. Whew. I don't know what it is about that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. That just buries me. I don't know what it is. I just love that song. And I'm very emotional this morning. I don't know why. The Hallmark movie really wasn't that good last night. They're usually really good. Oh, boy. A company recently placed a classified ad for a director of operations position and posted online and in the newspapers. Though 207 million people saw the ad, only 24 people inquired of it. The interviews were conducted via webcam, where the interviewer detailed the requirements and the benefits of this job, and there was 5 requirements. 135 hours plus per week. 2, no breaks. 3, preferred degrees were medicine, finance, and culinary arts. 4, no vacations. Workload increases during the holidays. 5, no pay. The applicants responded to this job with objectives like such as insane, inhumane. The interviewer then shared that there are billions who currently hold this position. Moms. Thank you, Chad, for sending me that. That's beautiful. And actually, on this ad, today's 100th anniversary of Mother's Day. I didn't know that. Praise God. Oh, boy. See, I got this, a lot of stuff to share with you today. I'm kind of scared about it because it's a lot of stuff, and it's in your face some, and you're going to step on some toes, and some people are going to be upset with me, and that's exciting. My wife's not here today, so I get to talk about her, and that always gets me pumped up. Oh, my gosh. I got a Kathy story for you. We went and saw the movie Mom's Night Out on Friday. It's really good, really funny, you know, some good, definitely Christian-based film, and there's a beautiful scene at the end. And we came out of there, and Kathy goes, did my mascara run? And I look in her eyes, and I'm like, black, like crazy. And I said, yes. And she goes, well, I'll go in the bathroom and fix it. And she came out from the bathroom. They still look the same. I didn't know what to say to her. And I said, Kathy, what are the lights out in the bathroom? What, man? Because we were doing some crying. I can do some crying. Oh, my gosh. Amber, you're playing that song, and I'm seeing myself in heaven saying, Jesus, wait till Amber gets here and you hear Shine, Jesus, Shine. And he says to me, don't you think I heard it when she was down here playing it? Praise God. Can you play that at the end for like an hour? Praise God. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even bring my Bible up here. Praise God. We turn now. Now we're ending up 1 Timothy chapter 6, the book of 1 Timothy. Thank you, Brandon. I love you, brother. Praise God. Oh, boy. We're ending up with like the last 8 verses in the book of 1 Timothy. It's been a journey for me, man. I've learned so much. Some of the subjects we've covered through these weeks since the beginning of the year, because we wanted to go through the book of 1 Timothy, and who would ever think of, let's go ahead and do 2 Timothy next. But we talked about false teaching. We talked about the importance of prayer in these verses, and Paul talking to this young man, Timothy. He's the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he's just laying out everything. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, just laying everything out for Timothy. He talked about the importance of prayer. He talked about the role of women in the church. He talked about the qualification of church leaders. He talked about instructions for widows and slaves and the dangers of materialism we looked at last week. And you may wonder, what is on Paul's mind as he finishes this letter to Timothy? And I think verse 12 says it all. He says, fight the good fight for the faith. It's a fight. I titled this message, the church is at war. We're at war right now. And it's like he sums up this letter by saying, fight the good fight for faith. And it's similar to in the beginning of the first chapter when he said, you might fight. He said, you fight the good fight, keeping the faith, have a good conscience. So when you're listening, God, I put so at the beginning and end of the letter, Paul was reminding Timothy of the battle. Of the battle and the struggle involved in the Christian's life. Timothy needed to realize this. He needed to realize that he was in a battle for his faith. And the faith, it was the gospel. And as followers of Christ, this is precisely the realization we need to come to today. The Bible is clear on this, that we are in a wartime, not a peacetime. This truth can be found all over the scriptures, and I found Hebrews 12:4 says that we are in a war against sin. 1 Peter 2:11 talks about that there's a war taking place within our souls. Jude 3 talks about the struggle for our faith. 2 Timothy 2:3, which we'll look at in a month or so, refers to Timothy as a soldier for the gospel. Is there any soldiers here today? Is there any people excited about living the life and going out and making a difference in our community for Him? 2 Corinthians 6, 7, and 10:4 mentions that the weapons that believers possess. And then finally, Ephesians 6, 12, that our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's not against rulers. It's not against the authorities. It's not against your spouses. It's not against your neighbors. It's against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Every Christian is involved in a spiritual war, and his or her faith may be under attack in a number of ways. And I thought about it, man. Somebody left. There's a teenager left some gum up here Wednesday night in the youth, man. They all pointed to Kyle. Why was that? Praise God. Sometimes his mom's just back there smiling. Beautiful. Sometimes the battle's for a marriage. Sometimes there's a battle between a parent and a kid. Sometimes for men today, the battle is the purity of your mind. There's a battle going on. And we saw last Sunday in the previous section of 1 Timothy chapter 6 that there's a battle being fought against materialism in our culture-driven culture, our consumer-driven culture. And of course, there's always a battle going on for unbelief. Always a battle about doubting God. Worry and despair seem to be unrelenting for some people. And needless to say, the Christian life is not an exercise in simply just rolling along, just living the life, just waiting for the next vacation or the next thing to buy. It's about a battle. And the struggle doesn't even apply just to Christians and non-Christians as well. And you're listening, God, I put as followers of Christ, we should not take this spiritual battle lightly. For the enemy in this spiritual war is formidable. There's an enemy out there. Martin Luther in his well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress. I bet you many of you know that hymn. And there's a line in there, on earth is not his equal. He's talking about Satan. Satan aims to defame God's glory, distorts God's gospel, and destroy God's people. He wants to wreck your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationships, abolish your purity, attack your integrity, and at all costs, he'll do anything he can to keep you from knowing the glory of God and spreading the gospel of God. 1 Peter 5:8 describes the devil this way: your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's unbelievable. And regardless of how strong or how smart you are, how much word you have in your heart, and believe me, I want to spend the rest of my life just getting this word in my heart and in my mind and in my conscience and living it out and spur people on to reading it and getting involved in the word. But no matter how strong or smart you think you are, the enemy cannot be taken lightly. It is very important that we understand the schemes. And we not only need to see that the enemy in this spiritual warfare is formidable, but also that the scope of this spiritual war is universal. It's everywhere. This battle is cosmic. It involves every language, every people, every nation, every tribe, every family, every life, which means that involvement in this spiritual war and this spiritual battle is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. You don't choose whether you want to be involved in it or not. Your involvement began the day you were born. So you can't just ignore it and hope to make it out alive. The Bible doesn't say ignore the devil and he will flee from you. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee for you. And if you try to avoid this war, pretending that there's no struggle to be had, then you'll not stand. You won't be able to stand when the schemes come and the things come to take you away from God. Spiritual retreat only leads to spiritual defeat. And I read that, I thought, that could be like a rap song, man. You know what I mean? Spiritual retreat only leads to spiritual defeat. So I thought we could do it here this morning. I want this side alone, to say spiritual retreat. And then when I point to this side, I want you to say spiritual defeat. So you got me? Let's try it.
Spiritual retreat
only leads to
spiritual defeat. Spiritual
only leads to talk to me now. All right, go ahead. Praise God. Oh my gosh. Whoo, that was a Taibo move there, man. Praise God. This girl came down the street the other day, and she just came from Spain, and she was selling Verizon Vios in the neighborhood, you know what I mean? So we're all out there, and I said to her, you got anything for VHS players, man? She didn't know what in the world I was talking about, man. It was fantastic. Oh, my gosh. It's not too extreme to say, this is a really long message, and I know I'm taking my time, and I'm still in the introduction. We haven't even got to the verses yet. It's not too extreme to say that casualties of this war plunge into a hell of everlasting torment. Think about it. No one wants to talk about hell. Nobody wants a preacher to bring up about hell. And this may sound over dramatic when I say this, but consider this reality, and I put it in your listening guide. There is a God, capital G, over this world who wants all people to be saved. Am I right or not? That's true. But then there's a God, little g, in this world who wants all people to burn in hell. That's his job. That's the devil's job. That's Satan's job. And John said it in John 14:30. Brandon, thanks for bringing this up, man. John 14:30, I believe it is. Jesus talking. You know, they're in the upper room, and he says to them, I will not speak to you much more. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That's Jesus telling them. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly what the Father commands me. And then he says, get up and let's go from here. So there's a God in this world who wants everybody to be saved, but there's a God, little g, the ruler of this world, who wants everybody to burn in hell. There's a battle raging for your friends right now, for your co-workers, for your neighbors, and for all the peoples of the world. And how do we fight this battle has eternal implications. Satan does not want us to believe. He doesn't want us to live out. He doesn't want to spread the gospel. And you got to ask yourself, is he exceeding in your life right now? Is all your life is about having stuff or going on vacations or having this and acquiring this and not about seeking the name of Christ and picking up your cross and following him? There are Christians out there who are playing Christianity, and he doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to be soldiers. He calls us to be ready and willing to die for the faith. If we knew how many people die for their faith daily, it would make us go crazy. Think about these teenage girls kidnapped. And I found out they're Christian girls kidnapped in the school in Nigeria and being taken captive by Islamic extremists. You're not allowed to say Islam. Islamic extremists. And it's sad what's going on in this world. Pray for those girls. Pray for people like International Justice System that don't get there and get these girls out. I mean, they're being sold for $12, I heard. I mean, that's what's going on in this world, and that's the battle going on. So in light of all this battle, all this raging around us, Paul's telling us in verse 12, the fight, the good fight for the faith. And this is a good fight, and it's a fight for eternal life. And you're listening, God, I put it's a fight for what? Peace. It's a fight for confidence. It's a fight for hope, not just for you, but those others too, that it will escape everlasting torment and receive eternal life. This is a good fight, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. I would be a fool if I came up here and told you that this battle is easy. And the benefits of getting in shape require effort, painful effort. And our spiritual life is a lot like that. It's not an easy fight, but it's a good fight. And the reward which God has secured for us as believers is more than worth the effort to continue fighting. Think about the battle that's raging in your life right now, whether it's your marriage or your parenting or your relationship or even just your emotions. And be encouraged from our text to persevere. Let the word comfort you and strengthen you in this fight of faith. Peacetime is coming, but be assured that it's not now. So Paul tells us what we must fight. Now my introduction is over. And it begins with this exhortation. Verse 11, the first verse. But flee from these things. Paul's telling Timothy so he can take it to the church at Ephesus and preach it and teach it and live it. Flee these things, you man of God. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And from that verse you see in this instant we fight by fleeing. Think about it. It may sound more like running from a fight than fighting. But let me remind you that sometimes running is the best way to avoid defeat. If I went out here and there was a 300-pound NFL just signed to the Redskins who wants to demolish me, I don't think hand-to-hand combat by me is not going to be the best strategy. You know what I'm saying? I might take Pete Bergstrom and Eric Koufax and Daryl Graves and say, hey, can you take care of this guy for me, man? Praise God. But that's why Paul said, flee or run away. Run away from these things. And by these things, he probably means materialism. He probably means quarreling, slander, arrogance, the things that he just mentioned that we talked about last week in verses 3 through 10. So consider three ways in which we should run from evil. Run from sinful actions, number one. Run from temptation to sin. Beware, sin usually starts slowly, subtly, with just a glance. Or a thought, or a kiss, or a purchase. Don't flirt with danger, run. Boy, when computers started back in the 90s, and I was still had my 8-track and stuff, I remember going to the teenagers and preaching a message, just one click. Think about it. Just one click on that mouse can take you to a place that's dark. Run from sinful actions. Run from sinful desires. In verses 9 and 10 of 1 Timothy 6, Paul talks about sinful desires, such as the desire for riches or the love of money, the cravings that pull us away from the things of God. And there's even a deeper step to take than running from sinful actions or sinful desires. Run from sinful thoughts. Take this good fight of faith that Paul's telling Timothy to have. The Bible is telling us to fight in order to believe God. And why is it that we run after materialism and earthly possessions? And I think I know the reason why. Because we don't believe God is enough for us. Paul is telling us to fight the desire for more stuff with the belief that God is good for us. Consider his questions. Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Because you believe things will go better for you if you do. You believe yourself more than you believe God, who says, do not lie. Why do you give in to sexual impurity? Because you don't believe that purity is the best thing for you. You don't believe God's plans are best in this area for you. Why do you struggle with doubt and despair? Because you don't believe that God will take care of you. He is good and his promises are true. And as followers of Christ, we need to understand that God's word is our weapon in this fight of faith. That's why we try to provide all these Bible studies for you, for ladies, for men, for couples. We want to gather together in fellowship and get in God's word. Why? Because you need God's word to fight this fight. You can't do it on your own. I used to think if I worked harder, I could do it. It's a lie. It's a lie. You got to learn to trust in him and rely on him. And you got to get this word because it's his word. It's his letter for you. I saw Donna had up there, the Bible is a text message from God to you. Praise God. If you want to read it as a text, read it as a text. Praise God. If you're struggling to believe, God is with you. Fight unbelief with verses, because I don't know what else to give you but the Word of God. Joshua 1:5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Think about it. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about those two verses. It's where God's promises and His presence for us. Think about it. He promised to be with me, and He's with me. Believe on it. Bank on it. If you're struggling to believe that God is in control, meditate on this. Psalms 31:15. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Or Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good that those who love God. All things. To those who are called according to our purpose. Be confident in God's promise. The fight of faith is the fight to believe. Therefore, run from sinful thoughts, which produce sinful desires, which lead to sinful actions. Don't just run from these things. I came here today to tell you to run to something. Paul said to pursue six different things, even though they're related things. In verse 11, righteousness here refers to righteous thinking and living. Godliness, one of Paul's favorite terms in 1 Timothy, refers to godly belief and behavior. Next, Paul says to pursue faith, which is to say we should seek a deeper trust in God. And it's no surprise that Paul also mentions love or greater affection for God as something we should strive after. John 15:9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. After love, Paul mentions endurance, which we might refer to as patience amidst difficult circumstances. The words steadfastness and perseverance come to mind when I think about endurance. Some teenager better get the gum off this thing Wednesday night. You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. Just messing with you. We press on even though times are tough. And it seems that at the end is nowhere in sight. Scripture speaks repeatedly of a faith as a battle of endurance. Think about it. And then finally, Paul, in those things, he exhorts us to pursue gentleness. It's beautiful. We might think of this as kindness towards difficult people. What an interesting way to put this. We must fight the fight of faith with gentleness. Think about it. It's the way to do it. Think about it. Only as we are in Christ, we can do these things, and it can become a reality for us by the power of the Spirit. Paul said in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Man, every week we come here, we pray that someone's going to come forward and make the profession of faith. To come forward and bend down in this altar and kneel and say, God, I know I've messed up, but I realize that you've died on the cross. And I look at that cross and it's empty, because he rose again and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And can you imagine, could you bow your head right now and pray that God is making intercession for somebody sitting in the sanctuary today? To surrender their life to Christ and realize He's the way and the truth and the life. And eternal life is freely given, for God has called us to it. But we fight to take hold of it by faith. You have to understand that. We must continue in this day-to-day battle to experience the life of Christ has brought us. To every brother sitting here today, every sister in Christ who feels as if the battle to the Christian life is too daunting, Paul offers a number of encouragement and exhortation. He calls your name. That's the first thing. You're his child. You're not fighting against God. He is fighting for you. Second, you have confessed your faith. In view of these truths, live in the light of God's presence. Verse 13 of chapter 6. We're going to get through, I think it goes up to verse 21. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified to good conscience before Pontius Pilate. He's with us. So this battle, knowing that Creator of all things is on our side. As believers, we should also live in the view of God's faithfulness. Band, if you want to come forward, I'm getting ready for that hour version of Shine, Jesus, Shine. Jesus confessed his kinship to us. It cost him his life. He gave his life for us. He's the Savior who died for us. And he stands beside you in battle. The battle. So what do you fear? Verse 14, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we fight the fight, keep your eyes looking upward. Look to the sky, looking and longing for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's coming back. He's coming back for us. And we pursue godliness because we know Christ is returning. He's coming back for the faithful. Verses 15 and 16, give me about 30 more minutes. I'm just kidding. Which we will bring about at the proper time, Paul writes. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord alone, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. He rules the universe. His reign is invincible. He is immortal. He is unapproachable. He is inconceivable. He possesses all power. He deserves all praise. And then in verses 17 and 19, instruct those who are rich. Because it's unbelievable. He talks about materialism. Then he talks about fighting the good fight of faith. And now he's back on materialism again. Why? He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Some things, all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, he wrote to Timothy, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of the good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Father, I wish I had another. Oh my gosh. Let's go on to verses 20 and 21, and we'll end it up. Oh, Timothy, guard. Guard what has been entrusted to you. And if you could put your name in there. Oh, Eric, guard what's been entrusted to you. Think about it. Todd, guard what's been entrusted to you. Bill, guard what's been entrusted to you. Avoiding worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. So remain in the faith. Hold fast to the gospel for others' sake. And we have to remember that we fight as we're filled with God's grace. Ushers, if you could come forward. Praise God. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Can you put that up? Donna, happy Mother's Day. We proclaim Him. I thought about two verses. What's the gist of this ministry here? What's the gist of every teacher and leader in every Bible study when we get together? We proclaim Him as admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we might present every man complete. When I count to three, say complete. One, two, three. Complete. Praise God. Just had to wake you up. every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Father, thank you for your word today. Father, thank you for this book of 1 Timothy. Thank you that you're calling us today to fight the good fight of faith. Father, to take materialism and not make that the number one thing in our life. To not make stuff the number one thing in our life, but to make you number one in our life, Father. Help us to seek you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because when we do that, we'll be ready for the battle. We'll be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Father, thank you for this offering, Father. Father, bless those who are giving from their heart, Father. Not out of compulsion. Not out of guilt. Just let us give with a cheerful heart, knowing, Father, that we will be held accountable here at this church for what we did with every penny that came in, Father. Thank you for Savannah Koufax turning her money in today, that she made from doing a lemonade stand yesterday, that she wanted to give a portion back to the church. Father, thank you for that testimony of a young child, Father, who we really need to have a heart like that, Father. Give us that childlike faith to realize, knowing that when we give back, it's a sign of how much we love you and how much we worship you, Father. So bless this offering, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amber, do whatever you guys.
The altar is going to be open. If you want to come and pray, we just invite you to come. Go ahead and stand, please.
Amazing grace.